Good evening. Well, I'm so glad to be here with you. And as Pastor mentioned, I was able to meet with him over lunch and to spend time with him a little bit and get to know him. And I thank God for his faithfulness to the Lord. And I'm going to share my testimony tonight and how the Lord saved me. And I'm going to present my ministry, what I'm doing, what my visions are. And then I'm going to, at the end, show a video presentation. And so I'm going to start with reading the Bible. If you turn with me to the book of Galatians, let's just read a few verses there. Book of Galatians, chapter 3. So you might be confused with my accent. It comes from Azeri, mixture of Persian and Australian accent. Mix them all together, so that's my accent. Azeri, Persian, and Australian. So Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 through 14. Let's be upstanding to honor God's word as we read Galatians chapter 3. And let's read it together from verse 8 through 14. Verse 8. And this scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for loving us first and giving your Son to die for us, Lord. We thank you for your great plan that you had for us. And Lord, thank you for the church that you builded, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And thank you for the pastor here, and Lord, we thank you for this wonderful people. Lord, I pray that you would continue blessing this church and bless all of us and help us to be committed to you, because you've been committed to us to die on the cross, and you've been providing our needs faithfully, and you've been so good to us, Lord. And Lord, help us to love you back and get this message out to people, because they all need the gospel. And without that message, Lord, there is no hope. No salvation, only there is power in that message, the gospel, the good news. So Lord, help us to be involved with the ministry that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight and bless me, and Lord, use me. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us and challenge us and help us to be more like your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So a lot of Judaizers in the first century, they claimed to be Christians, but they said, unless we keep the law of Moses and be circumcised, we can't get saved. It's just not enough to have faith in Jesus Christ and believe in him. That's not enough. We need to do something. So they wanted to add to the gospel, the finished work of Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul wrote this epistle of Galatians. By the way, it was so new to me, these epistles, and because I grew up in a Muslim family. I didn't know what the Bible was, and never knew anything about apostles. And I thought the epistles were apostles' wives, so I didn't know anything about the Bible. So he wrote this epistle to Galatians, to these Judaizers, to correct them, to tell them that you can't get saved by keeping the law of Moses. And he told them that the law brings curse. If you want to keep the law to get saved from hell and to have eternal life, you have to keep them all. And he said, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. He said, the law brings curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. He said, if you want to keep the law, You have to keep them all perfectly. And James 2:10 tells us that if you keep all commandments and fail in one, you are guilty of all. And I don't know anybody in the world to be able to keep all the laws, all the commandments of God. And nobody can do it. So he said that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. He said it is evident because nobody can keep it perfectly. So it's evident that you can't be justified in the sight of God by keeping the law. It's evident. But the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And verse 13, he said, this is the answer. He said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Christ redeemed us. He came, he died on the cross, he paid that penalty of our sins. He took our curse and punishment on himself. And he said, if you ask Jesus to save you, in verse 14, what's going to happen? He said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That the same blessing, the promises that God gave to Abraham, he said, indeed shall all nations be blessed through Abraham. The promises that God gave to Abraham, he said, through you, there'll be a savior. There'll come a savior, Jesus Christ, and those who put their trust in Jesus, that savior, they'll get that promises, that blessings. And then he said that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You're going to receive the promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's going to enable you to be able to keep the law of Moses. Without help, you can't please God. You can't keep the law. You're going to fail. You're going to commit sin. So in the flesh, you can't keep the law of Moses or any laws. You can't because you have flesh. Flesh is sinful. It's going to fail. It's going to please itself. And so you're going to break God's commandment. But when Holy Spirit moves into your heart, He changes everything. You can't get enough of the Bible. You want to come to church, even in snow. You want to love God. You want to get the gospel out because you have that power. There is somebody who's bigger than you. He helps you to please God and to keep the law. So without that help, without the Holy Spirit, you can't even imagine to please God, to keep the law. You're going to fail. So we have a Sharia law in Islam. Sharia law, which is Islamic law, the law of Allah. So Allah has given Muslims Quran, which is the Sharia law, it's called. And these Muslims have to keep this law to be able to get saved from hell. I remember as a child, I was about six, 7 years old, and my grandma was telling me about hell almost every night. And she said, my grandson, if you die, you might go to hell. And I said, Grandma, what are you talking about? What is hell? And as a child, I didn't know what hell was. And she said, hell is a place of punishment, a place that you might be burned forever. And there's fire burning. I said, I don't want to go there to be burned. That's scary. Is there any good place to be? And she said, yes, there is heaven. Heaven is a beautiful place where God is and angels are. And there is no death, no disease, no sickness, and no death. So you're going to live there forever. You're going to see God and angels. And I said, that sounds good. I want to go to heaven. Can I go to heaven? And she said, well, yes, but there is a bridge. There is a bridge that you have to cross. This bridge is made of one thin hair. This is a bridge, one thin hair. You have to cross that bridge and make your way into heaven. And underneath this bridge, there is hellfire, burning, lake of fire. I said, how is this possible? How can I walk on a bridge made of one thin hair? This is impossible. And she said, well, if you keep the law of Allah, if you pray 5 times a day toward Mecca, you'll be able to cross that bridge and make your way into heaven. I said, okay, can you teach me to pray? I don't want to go to hell. I want to get saved. I want to go to heaven. Can you teach me to pray? So she said, yes, I can teach you to pray. So she said, face toward Mecca and pray like this. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawmiddin. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. What language do you speak? I can't say that. That's not, I don't understand what you're saying. And she said, well, that's the only prayer that you have to pray. You have to pray in Arabic. If you pray in Farsi, it's going to be rejected. So Allah knows only Arabic. He doesn't understand English or he doesn't understand Farsi, Persian. So he knows Arabic. And he's only limited. He's in Mecca. In Saudi Arabia, he's not omnipresent. So when you pray, you have to pray exactly towards Mecca. If you turn 5 degrees, 10 left or right, it's gonna go to infidel land and other like America, and it's gonna be rejected. So anyway, so I said, okay. So Arabic is different than Persian, totally different language. So I said, can you teach me this prayer so I can memorize it to be able to pray? So she did. I was able to memorize this verse, and so I faced toward Mecca 5 times a day. I prayed, but I was committing sin sometimes and disobeying my parents and committing all kinds of sin, telling lies and everything. But anytime I committed sin, I felt guilty and I wanted to cover it up, so I prayed. But as I prayed, never had peace. So I committed sin and I tried to pray again and go to mosque, and I never had peace. The prayer didn't give me peace. I went to mosque and kept the law of Allah and fasted during the month of Ramadan and didn't give me peace. I said, this is, and I lived with fear of going to hell, always lived that way. And I knew that Allah is going to send me to hell because I was feeling guilty anytime I committed sin. It's amazing that as an unsaved person, you don't need to read the Bible. You have a living Bible in your heart. There is consciousness, and God has given us inner witness. And when you do wrong, something in your heart tells you that was wrong. When you do right, something tells you that was good, that was right. So we have the living Bible. God has given us light. And so people say, what about those people living in the jungle? Is God fair to send them to hell? They never heard anything about the gospel. So gospel can be only way. So it's not fair for God to send them to hell. But God has given us lights, more lights, like inner witness, our consciousness, and also creation. The heavens declares the glory of God. And so if you follow that light that God has given you, if you follow that and fear God and try to seek Him and ask His forgiveness, He's going to lead you to more light, to more light. And He's going to lead you to somebody who is a soul winner. So He's going to lead you to cross eventually and you'll get saved. But anyway, so as an unsaved person, I knew that I did wrong and I felt guilty and I knew that I'm going to hell. So, but there was no hope. I tried to be religious, so I said to Grandmom, I said, Grandmom, I'm so scared of going to hell. Can you help me? And she took me to mosque, and she helped me to be more dedicated. She helped me to read Quran and everything. So, but never had peace. Never had peace by reading Quran and praying 5 times a day and fasting during the month of Ramadan. And in the morning, when you pray, the first prayer is about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm coming from north of Iran, which is on the border of Russia. Very cold. So in winter, I remember as a child, 30-something years ago, we had no boiling system, like hot water. So I had to go to a fountain in the yard, which was frozen. Like in winter, we had a lot of snow, and the water was just frozen. So I had to get that frozen water to wash my hand, purify my hand and feet and head, to wash myself to be able to stand before Allah to pray, because you have to purify your body before praying. So it was just freezing in the morning. I was sleepy at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was just so tired and sleeping, and I had to wash my hand with that cold frozen. It was like Satan's trying to torture me. And that is Satan. God doesn't want us to get up 4 o'clock. God has given us night to sleep. But devil wants to wake you up to pray to him. So anyway, I grew up and I never had peace practicing Islam. And slowly I had questions in my mind as I grew up. Why should I pray in Arabic? Doesn't God understand my language, Farsi? And this prayer became just boring practice. You know, bow down five times a day and get up and bow down. I use the same words, same, you know, vain repetitions that I used. So as Jesus said, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as heathens do, but they think that by much speaking, God will hear them. So it was just boring to pray 5 times a day, and I never felt that I had relationship with Allah. I never loved Allah, because when you pray in different language without understanding what you're saying, That's not a relationship. So it became boring. So most Muslims don't have any relationship with Allah. That's the obligation that they have to do it. Because if you don't do it, Allah is going to send you to hell. So fear controls Muslims as fear controls Catholics. It's very similar. Catholicism and Islam have a lot of things in common. But anyway, so in 2006, I was able to apply for a work and holiday visa. So I was able to go to Australia. So I went home and I said, I've got my visa and I'm going to Australia. And my mom was so upset because I had to leave my home, my family, and to go to far country. And so my mom put a copy of Quran along with a bowl of water on a tray. And she said, kiss this Quran 3 times and go underneath it. So this Quran can protect you from the danger as you go to far country. So I kissed Quran and she poured this bowl of water on the ground behind me as a symbol of health so I can stay healthy. So I don't think pouring water on the ground will keep you healthy. If you drink it, you might stay healthy. But if you pour it on the ground, that's not going to help you. So anyway, so I left home and I went to Sydney, Australia, and I had a friend there. And this friend, he took me to an apartment in a unit that 5 Persians were living. But I noticed that one of these 5 Persians converted from Islam to Christianity. So I remember my father telling me that Christians are filthy and ungodly, unclean people. Because of the Hollywood movie that we watch on TV and satellite TV, we see all the fornications and uncleanness that... And we think that these people, these Americans, are Christians, so they represent Christianity. That means they have no moral. They sleep around with other women before getting married, and they have no moral. They're infidels. They're filthy, ungodly people. So I noticed that the place was religiously unclean. I said to them, look, thank you for offering me your place, but I can't stay here. So I left the place because it was unclean. So I went somewhere else. I found another place to live. And I found jobs slowly and was working, making a lot of money. And I had freedom there. I just loved to live in Australia because we had freedom there. In Iran, no freedom. They control your life. Whatever you dress and you say, your religion, they control everything about you. So I didn't like that kind of system. I was under the bondage in Iran. And so I loved Australia because of employments and opportunities, and I was making money in Iran. There is not much opportunities. A lot of people are educated, but without employment. And so I wanted to stay in Australia, but I wasn't able to extend my visa. I had only 3 years visa, and my visa was about to expire, and I wanted to stay there, but I couldn't extend it. So I was working a part-time job in a restaurant, and there was a Persian man who was a Christian, and he said to me, he said, Michael, if you want to stay in Australia, I'll be able to help you. And I said, how can you help me, an infidel? And he said, well, if you come to our church and convert to Christianity, then you'll be able to apply for a protection visa. And I said, what is protection visa? And he said, well, if you convert to Christianity, that means you'll be called an infidel. And as an infidel, Iranian government will kill you because of your conversion. And I said, yes, you're right. But he said, Australian government will give you a protection visa. That means permanent residency, so you can stay here. You don't have to go back. You can live here permanently. I said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be an infidel like you. I'm a Muslim. So I ignored him. But after a few days and a few weeks passed by, and I realized that my time is about to expire, I have to do something. And I remember my father telling me that if you miss a prayer or fasting, you have to pray and fast 60 times more to make it up, just to cover up your missing prayers. So I remember being in Australia for 3 years, I stopped praying because I was busy, or I just lived as an Australian. And living in Australia, I looked back my country, Iran, that I saw this infidel, the people who are not Muslim, they are infidels. They have all the blessings. They have freedom, and sounds like, God has blessed them. They have a lot of food wasted. They have a lot of food. They don't know what to do, but in Iran, we can't find food. And And God has blessed him, and the nature is like green, beautiful, and water, ocean, and everything. But I look back to my country, Iran, and Afghanistan, and Syria. It's like desert, hot and dry. There's no life, and people are suffering. No employment, no freedom, and people kill each other, and they shed blood. And sounds like there is something wrong with Islam, like God of Islam. I had these questions in my mind. I was just struggling. What's going on? Why these people are prospering? And we in Iran, as a Muslim, we know God, the true God, and we suffer. And I stopped praying in Australia. And last 2 years in Iran as well, I was so busy applying for a visa and everything, so I wasn't able to pray. So it was like 5 years I didn't pray. So I got my calculator out, and I put 5 years times 60. I realized that I had to pray and fast for the next 300 years to make it up. So I realized that I am lost. I am going to hell. So there is no hope. So what's the point of claiming to be a Muslim without practicing? I'm going to hell anyway. So I said, I know what to do. I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to tell them that I'm a Christian so I can apply for this protection visa and stay in Australia. And after death, I'm going to go to hell anyway. So I called my friend. I said, friend, I'm happy to come to church with you. And he was so excited. So he took me to church. We got in the car, driving to church, first time in my life, and I was so nervous first time in 2009 going to church, and because I didn't know how Christians pray. Look, in Islam, every individual should pray individually. You need to know the prayer. You need to memorize those Arabic verses. Well, in a church, you know, somebody leads you in prayer, and you, at the end you listen, and at the end you say amen. But in Islam, you have to know their verses. So I said, I don't know how to pray. I don't know if they pray in Arabic or in Farsi or in English. Do they pray towards Mecca or towards Jerusalem or towards the Holy Land of Pennsylvania? Or what direction should I face to pray? And I was nervous. And apart from that, being sitting among filthy Christians, that was stressful. But I said, I need to do this anyway. So I went to church and walked through the door. And these people came one after another saying, well, thank you for visiting us and welcome to our church and good to have you. And I said to myself, these people meant to be filthy and ungodly, immoral, but sounds like they are good, filthy people. They are kind and friendly. And I noticed that they were singing and praising God, and they had music and piano and choir. They were singing and rejoicing, and that was so different to me first time, because in Islam, we don't sing, we don't rejoice, we have no music. We have to cry to worship. We go and we shed tears. And Allah tells us that if you shed one drop of tear, Allah is going to give you a block of land in heaven. So they encourage you to cry more, to cry, to cry. So that's why a lot of Muslims look at their faces, they look depressed and sad. Well, if you cry every day for the next 5-10 years, you'll look miserable and depressed. So, but I noticed that these people were singing. I loved it. But I noticed that they were praying like to Jesus. I said, what is wrong with these people? Why do they pray to Jesus? Why don't pray to Allah, to God? They pray to a man. So I said, no, this is wrong. This is, they blaspheming against God. But something in my heart said, no, this is good. This is like these people, they're rejoicing, they're happy, and they pour out their hearts to God, and they pray in their own language, and sounds like they are sincere people. They're genuine. I love this atmosphere being at church, but something I didn't want to, you know, accept it. So they gave me a copy of the Bible. They said, take this Bible and read it from the New Testament because it talks about the life of Jesus Christ. So I took it home and I opened to the Gospel of Matthew, and so it said, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah, and Judah begat. I said, this is boring book. What is this begat? So, but I kept reading it, chapter 2 and 3, and chapter 4 and 5, 6, 7, Sermon on the Mount. I just read it, and I noticed that this is interesting. It's so different. And Jesus said, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, which makes sense to me because in Islam, we have to love our neighbors, our fellow Muslims, And we have to hate our enemies and cut their heads off. Quran commands us to cut the heads off unbelievers. To cut their heads off. Unbelievers, non-Muslims. A true Muslim should cut off the heads of non-Muslims. That's why very few Muslims are really devout and dedicated and committed to Allah and to Quran. Like ISIS, they are the true Muslims. They're holding Quran in their hand and they cut off heads of Christians and Jews and other ungodly people and non-Muslim people, because they are true Muslims. And many Muslims in the world are nice people. Why? Because we are commanded to read Quran in Arabic. And if you read it in English, you don't get reward for it. So many Muslims in the world, majority of Muslims are non-Arabic speaking people. So they don't know. They just learn to read the Quran in Arabic language. They know how to read it without understanding it. So they read it by chanting. They think that by reading, like chanting, like this funny noise, voice that they have when they read. And by reading that way, they think that they'll get reward for it. So majority of Muslims don't speak Arabic. They don't understand Quran. They just read it with chanting. So that's why they're nice, because they don't understand what is in that book. If they understand what Allah tells them to do, they'll be abnormal people. They'll be like ISIS. So that's what ISIS, the Arabic people, they understand what Allah tells them to do. That's why they follow it and they kill infidels and non-Muslims. But anyway, so Jesus said, "You have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you," he said, "love your enemies and bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And I said, wow, this is so different. I never heard anything about this kind of teaching. And love your enemies, I never learned that in Quran. If you read the Quran cover to cover, you won't find the word love. Love is not mentioned in the Quran. But I read the Bible. Jesus said, love your enemies. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We love him because he loved us first. And he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. So I realized that God of the Bible is love. For God so loved the world, so he loves me. God of the Bible loves me, but Allah never told me that he loves me. So I read this Bible and I just loved it. So I read, I spent hours and hours every day. So I finished New Testament. I said, this is not enough. I need to start from the beginning. So I opened the book of Genesis to Malachi. And it was less than a month time. I read through the Bible once, less than a month, because it was just filling my heart. I knew that there is something in this book that I need desperately. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that there is an answer in this. But the church that I went to, they didn't tell me how to be saved. They didn't tell me what the answer was. And so I asked the pastor to baptize me, to give me a support letter so I can apply for this protection visa and stay in Australia. But he didn't baptize me, didn't give me a support letter. So I realized that I wasted my time in that church. So I had another friend there. He said, "I know a Baptist pastor. He can help you." I said, what is Baptist? He said, "Baptist is different kind of Christianity. Different people, they worship in a different way. For example, their music is 1,000 years old and their dress code is 500 years old. But they worship in a different way. But they are loving people. They'll help you." I said, "I don't care about how they worship and how they dress. If they help me to get this visa, I stay in Australia, that's fine. I'm happy with it." So later on, I loved this old fashion. I despise this new fashion. I love old-fashioned music, old-fashioned dress code and everything. And thank God for it. God wants holiness, and he wants us to be holy and sanctified and to be separated from the world. So anyway, so I went, he said, "Do you want to talk to Pastor Keith Piper?" I said, "Sure." So he called Pastor Keith Piper, and I spoke to him on the phone. And he made an appointment with me for next day. So I went to his place. That was August 29th, 2009. Went to his home, and he spent 5 hours with me on the first day. This Anglican pastor didn't give me a minute to talk to me, to hear my problems. But this Baptist pastor spent 5 hours at his home. He fed me food, and he shared the gospel with me, and he told me all about sin. He said, for all have sinned. We all have sin problem. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he took me through 10 commandments, and I realized that I had broken them all. I was guilty and sinner. I knew that. And he told me about the penalty of sin. The punishment of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. He said, the punishment for our sins is death. Because we sin against God, so we die. But he said, there is another death in the Bible. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. He said, the second death is lake of fire. That means when you die, God is going to judge you. And if you're a sinner, you're going to go to hell. So I said, so that means my grandma was right. She was telling me about hell, that there is a bridge you have to cross, and underneath the bridge, there is a lake of fire. And he said, because God is just, and he's holy, he has to deal with our sins. He can't just forgive people, the sinners, on no basis. So he's holy, he's just. But he said he is also loving. Not only he's just, but he's merciful God. He wanted to save us. He made a plan to save us. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came, he died on the cross. He went through that suffering and he died. He shed his blood on the cross. They nailed him on the cross, spat on his face. He went through that terrible suffering because God knew that we had to suffer in hell. We had to be punished. We had to be cursed forever in hell. But he came, he took our curse and our punishment. He loved us. He didn't want us to go to hell. So he came to save us, to pay the penalty of our sins. I said, I heard that in the previous church. They were telling us that Jesus died on the cross, but I never understood. They didn't tell me. But I said, they never told me what to do to be saved. Like in Islam, we have to pray 5 times a day. And we have to fast during the month of Ramadan, and we have self-harming. We had to cut our bodies with different torturing tools and stuff. So what do I have to do to be saved? Because you're saying that Jesus died on the cross. Does that mean he died for all people? That means everybody's going to heaven? Or do I have to do something to go to heaven? What do I have to do? And what are you doing in church? Do you have to get baptized to get saved from hell? Or should I become a member? Or what do I have to do to be saved? Tell me. And he said, let's just open the Bible and see what you have to do. And he said, you need to do something, and God will do something to you. There are promises. Read this promise, like John 1:12, and see what you have to do and what God is going to do to you. So I read it, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He said, what do you have to do, you think, in that verse? But as many as received him, I said to him, I think I have to receive him. Is him Jesus? He said, yes. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, what's going to happen? What God is going to do to you? To them gave he power or authority to become sons of God. He said that means you'll be one of the sons of God. You'll be a child of God. And that's called being born again. You'll be born of God. And God will be your heavenly Father. Would you like to be a child of God? I said, yes, I like to be a child of God. And he said, read Romans 10:13 and see what you have to do in that verse and what God is going to do to you. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said, what do you have to do? I said, I think I need to call upon the name of the Lord. He said, yes. And what's going to happen? Shall be saved. Shall be saved from hell. I said, like you're saying that I need to call upon the name of the Lord to save me from hell and I'll be saved? Like that easy? He said, yes. Why is it so simple? Like that easy? Just call upon the name of the Lord without getting baptized, without doing anything. He said, yes, God made it so easy that even a child can understand that simple message and get saved. God didn't make it difficult so people can be confused. He made it so easy that illiterate people, child, and old people can understand it and get saved. I said, this is so good. And even Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. So I said, Pastor, I want to do it. I want to call upon Jesus' name and get saved. I don't want to put it off because I don't know what's going to happen to me next minute. I don't know if I can live till tomorrow. I might die. So I don't want to die and go to hell without Jesus. Can I call on Jesus' name to save me? He said, yeah, go ahead and pray and call upon his name. So I closed my eyes. I said, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again. Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior today, and I call on your name to save me from hell. And thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I opened my eyes, I knew that I was born again, child of God, and I was just rejoicing. I was so glad, and the peace of God that I was seeking for many years by praying 5 times a day, torturing myself in the morning, washing my body with frozen water, and fasting during the month of Ramadan, and self-harming, and everything I did never had peace. But 1 minute praying to the right God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, not Lord Allah, but the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 minute when I prayed to him, I called on his name, and I had that peace and joy of God flooded into my heart, and I was just knew, I knew that, you know, when you get saved, you know that you're different. I knew that I was born again that day. So I went home next to my bed. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I came to your church to abuse you and abuse your church to get this visa. I don't care about visa anymore. If you want me to go back to Iran, I'm happy to go there and get this simple message to Iranians that they can get saved to. And Lord Jesus, I don't want to be an average Christian. I want to serve you because you love me so much and I love you. I want to do something for you. Would you use me? I don't know the Bible. I never raised in a Christian family, but I want to do something, like maybe cleaning the floor or washing, mopping, whatever, cleaning the toilet, and whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm happy to serve you. Would you use me? So I surrendered my life to Jesus on the first day. And I remember my family, that my mom was so loving and kind, but I knew that she's lost. She's going to hell because she doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. She's not born again. And my dad is hardworking and humble man, but I knew that he's lost and he's going to hell. So immediately I called my family. I said, Mom, my mom picked up the phone. I said, Mom, I'm going to give you good news. Guess what happened? And she said, what happened, my son? I said, I became a Christian. I'm so happy. She said, what? I said, I'm a Christian. I'm so glad. She said, how dare did you become a Christian? And what happened to you? Who took you to church? And what's wrong with you that you became an infidel? And I said, Mom, I love you, but I asked Jesus today to save me, to forgive me, and give me eternal life. And he forgave all my sins, and he gave me eternal life. He changed my life, and I know that if I die now, I'm going to be in heaven. Not because I'm a good person, not because I'm a sinner, but Jesus died on the cross. He paid the penalty of my sins, and I called on his name to save me, and he saved me. And I said, Mom, I know that you've been religious, and you've been praying for many years, but when you die, you're going to stand before God, and if you try to offer your righteousness and your prayers that you've prayed for many years, all your righteousness will be as filthy rags. God doesn't care about your good works. Your problem is sin. God will see you guilty and your punishment is hell. But Jesus loved you. God loves you that he came, he died on the cross. He paid the penalty of your sins. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so, but she rejected the gospel. So I called her many times. She kept rejecting the gospel. I knew that there might be another way to reach my family. I thought maybe satellite station, because I was watching at the time Christian channels on satellite TV. And I prayed, I said, Lord, would you help me that one day I could go on satellite TV and preach the gospel so my family can watch me on TV and get to hear the gospel and get saved. So I prayed that for many years since my salvation. But the Lord called me to Bible college, so I was able to graduate from Sydney Bible Baptist College. And while I was doing Bible college, I was able to witness to Persians. There are about 100,000 Persians living in Sydney, Australia. So I was able to witness to them, and they got saved. They came to our church, and many of them got saved. And then many of them didn't speak in English. So in 2012, I was able to plant a church, Iranian church, the first independent Baptist church in the world, in fact. We don't have any independent Baptist church. Most Iranian churches are charismatic in America, in Europe. So I planted this independent Baptist church in Sydney, and these people came, and I was able to teach them and preach to them, disciple them, and many of them got baptized. And so these people are open to the gospel, because what Islam did to our country, when Ayatollah came in 1979, he promised, he said, I'm going to give you everything for free, freedom. But when he took over, After a few years, he didn't keep his promises, and he literally destroyed our country. He brought 8 years of war with Iraq, and so he brought poverty. He took away our freedom and wealth that we had. In Shah's time, Iran was one of the top richest country in the world. We had everything. We had freedom. You could be Christian, Jews, whatever. We had a lot of Jews living in Iran in Shah's time. But when Ayatollah came, he brought this radical, strict Islam, and Jews had no right to live there under Islamic government, so they fled. So he destroyed our countries, and our economy went down, and because of the war and everything, because of Islam, they spent all the money on weapons, nuclear weapons and everything, tried to destroy Israel. So that caused economy and everything to go down, and people are suffering, and their income is low, and many people are unemployed. So last year, people, because of the sanction that America put on our country, that caused everything to be like double. The price of food and clothes and everything went up, so people suffered more. So they had nothing to lose. So they've been going on the street uprising against government, saying death to Ayatollah, death to dictator. They never said anything negative about Ayatollah before. They didn't dare, because if you said any negative things about Ayatollah, about these mullahs, and they would take you to jail and kill you. But now people have nothing to lose. They go on the street, say, we don't want Islamic government anymore. Now they are against Islam, because they could see that Islam destroyed our country, literally. So they don't want Islamic government. Most people don't even practice Islam anymore. That opens the door of salvation for them, the gospel. That if you share the gospel with them, most of them, they'll love the love of Jesus Christ. They want to come to Christ. When you share that, how God loved us, that he came to die on the cross, to pay the penalty of our sins, and salvation is free gift. You don't have to pray 5 times a day and do all the rituals and everything, boring stuff. So when you share the love of Jesus Christ with them, many of them want to get saved. I have witnessed since my salvation in 2009 till now, I've been able to witness to over 500 Muslims. And so far, I remember 3 of them so far have rejected the gospel. But most of them received Jesus Christ as their savior. They wide open to the gospel. They want to get saved. They sick of Islam. And thank God for Ayatollah, who brought this evil and destruction, but God meant it for good. Always good things come out of evil. The people, you know, mean it for evil, as Joseph experienced this, but God had a better plan. When people were persecuted and they went through the suffering, they started to cry out to God, because they knew that there is no help in government, no help in people, no help in anywhere. So they started to cry out to God. By praying and seeking God, God reaches out to them. And a lot of people in Iran have seen dreams of Jesus appearing to them in their dreams. And they've been coming to Christ. And I can tell you a lot of stories, like firsthand. My friends coming from Iran, they told me how they saw Jesus Christ in their dreams. And I understand that we independent Baptist churches, we don't believe in dreams. God doesn't work through dreams anymore. He's limited. He's not God anymore. He's not on the throne. But God does work through dreams. He can do still miracles. Whatever he wants to do, we can't limit God. He's able to do whatever he wants to do. But anyway, so they are open to the gospel. And leading many people to the Lord. Then the Lord wanted to expand my ministry. I had a phone call from CRI, Christian Radio International. George Zeres invited me to come. He called me, he said, I've heard about you. I want you to come to the United States and preach the gospel, and I'm going to deliver your messages into Iran through satellite TV. I said, are you sure you got a right number? Me, like going on TV and preaching to Iran? He said, yes, that's you. I said, thank God, praise the Lord. After like praying for 8 years and 9 years, the Lord finally answered my prayer. So I came to Dawsonville, Georgia, in a studio at Lighthouse Baptist Church, and I was able to record messages there. And then I recorded 70 different sermons, gospel messages, and I went back to Sydney and came back again last January, last year, to preach more. And so I came back. When I came back this time, this satellite TV station, which is in Dallas, Texas, the founder called me. He said, why don't you come here? I want to meet you in person. So I went there. He put me on a live program for an hour. So I was able to speak a few minutes there. And after the program ended, people were calling from Iran. And many of them, they were just so grateful and thankful for this Christian channel. One lady was crying with joy. She said, thank you for teaching us the Bible. I got saved through this Christian channel. Thank you for teaching us the Bible. Keep it up, please. Because in Iran, there is no churches. Because this Islamic government shut down all the churches in 1979. When he came, he destroyed the churches and Christianity. He wanted to wipe off Christianity from the face of Iran. There were only 500 born-again Christians, by the way, in 1979. In Shah's time, people had freedom and everything. Only 500 born-again Christians. But today, after 39 years of Islam coming to our country, radical Islam, now they say that we have 7 million born-again Christians in Iran as a result of Islam. Thank God for Islam. That brought good things to Iranians. So a lot of people come to Christ. How? Without pastors, without missionaries, without churches. How? Through media, through satellite TV and radio. It's the only way. So last May, we started to broadcast my messages into Iran through satellite TV in May. It's been like 7-8 months now. And in last October, which was about 3-4 months ago, the radio, which is in Oregon, they broadcast my messages about 3 months ago through satellite radio and internet radio into Iran. So the Lord opened these three media outlets, satellite TV, satellite radio, and internet radio. So my programs have been going to Iran, and I'm getting feedback from people. And somebody texted me, he said, I've been watching your program on TV, and I'm a new believer, but I want to be a pastor. Can I become a pastor as a new believer? I said, not a novice. It's too early for you to be a pastor. But maybe you have a desire. Maybe the Lord has given you that desire that you want to be a pastor. But you need to be trained. And I'm happy to train you. If you want me to teach you, I'll be happy to train you. And I said, if you die tonight, would you be sure of going to heaven? He said, no, I'm not sure. I said, well, let me tell you how to be sure of going to heaven first, and then I can start discipling you. And then next, and there was another person, which was my neighbor friend. He texted me. He said, Michael, we grew up together on the same street, playing on the same street, next door, neighbor friend. So he said, Michael, I'm sick of Islam. Islam has destroyed our country. I want to be a Christian, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to be a Christian. And I said, I'll tell you what to do. Just open Skype account so I can call you on Skype and tell you how to become a Christian. So next day, I was able to call my neighbor friend and the other person who wanted to be a pastor. So I shared the gospel with both of them on Skype, and both of them prayed and received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they got saved. And after 2 days, this neighbor friend texted me back. He said, thank you for sharing the gospel with me. He said, God has changed my life already this last 2 days. He said, I was smoking 2 packs of cigarette every day. But now, the last two days, I haven't touched smoking. I don't even feel to go back and start smoking again. He said, God has changed me a lot. I said, that's a part of the gospel. Not only it saves you from hell, but it transforms your life from addiction, from pornography, and whatever you have in your life. Power of the gospel, it'll transform your life. So, and another four people texted me. They wanted to know about Jesus Christ. I was able to lead them to the Lord over Skype. Another different four people, I was able to lead them to the Lord. And then I was discipling this new converts that I led to the Lord. I discipled them once a week through Skype. So I called them, they joined this group, and I've been able to disciple them. Once I was discipling my new converts, I had a phone call, like a video call from my family, and I just started teaching them. And I said to my sister, I said, I'm just teaching lesson now, but do you want to Just listen, so after the class, I can talk to you. So they listened to me teaching, discipling this new convert of my family for the first time. They came and they joined my Bible study online. They listened. And then next week, they joined again. And then last Friday, which was the third time, they joined again. There were about 10 people, 10 of my family members, my uncle and his wife and my parents, two of my sisters and their husbands, and 10 of them, over 10 of them, they listened. So it's been 3 times they come to my Bible study. They haven't made decision to receive Jesus Christ yet, but they are open. They want to learn the Bible and pray that they would get saved. So at the end, I want to show a video presentation now. And I want you to pray. I've got this prayer card on the table. If you can grab one of these at the end and pray for 4 things. Number one, pray for the salvation of my family. I was able to lead one of my brothers to the Lord, one of my sisters, and one of my nieces to the Lord in Turkey because I couldn't go back to Iran because I had to go to Turkey to visit my family. So I was able to witness to them, and 3 of them got saved. So pray for salvation of my family. All of them would get saved. And also pray for my media ministry, what I'm doing now, this satellite TV and radio, because I have to go to his studio every 3-4 months to record messages. So I'm working on Book of Romans. So I prepare lessons all the time, sermons to go and preach and record messages. Pray for my media ministry to save many souls in Iran so people can hear the gospel and come to Christ. Number 3, pray, because I'm planning to go back to Sydney, Lord willing, in September, to plant another church, second church in Sydney. There are a lot of Persians living there. And I'm going to appoint somebody there to pastor. I'm going to start that to be there for 2-3 months to get it going. And then I'm going to come back again in January to plant another church in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin area, where there are 2,000 Persians. Most of them are students. So pray that the Lord would use me to plant many independent Baptist churches, because we don't have, there's only one that I planted in Sydney, not many. And also I have a vision to plant a Bible college to train pastors to be able to go and plant many churches everywhere. So pray lastly for monthly support as I'm doing deputation with Baptist World Mission. I pray that the Lord would provide my needs, and even if you can consider to pray or taking me on for support, that will be much appreciated. And also, I've got these 2 books by my pastor, Keith Piper. This is called Questions, which is Islamic kind of book. You learn about Islam and Christianity and how to reach Muslims. They'll help you to learn about Muslims. And this one is called Establishing the Faith, which is a discipleship book that you can use to disciple new converts, to any new converts. It's got 45 lessons, and they're all for free. You can grab one of each. And also, I've got this, I dropped this sign-up sheet. If you want to grab one of these to write your email, so I can send you prayer letters every month. That was my testimony and my presentation, and we're going to watch this video now. This is my ministry back in Sydney. So just watch this, and after that, Pastor will come and close in prayer. Thank you for your attention, everything, and pray that the Lord would use my ministry and myself and everything, that the Lord would help me to do that. Without Him, I can't do everything. I have a lot of responsibilities because I am kind of by myself, the pioneer to start Persian Independent Baptist Church, so I have a lot of responsibility. Pray that the Lord would empower me. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Michael Germi. I was born and raised in a Muslim family in Iran. From my childhood, I learned how to practice my religion, Islam. In 2006, I had to leave my country, Iran, to immigrate to Australia. And my family sent me to Australia under the protection of Quran.
going to start off with that as you've read the front page. First of all, if you'd be so kind to read the first heading and the verse underneath, please. Come ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior.
Sure.
Okay? Go ahead and pray that to God, please.
Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. When I got saved, on the same day, I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ for the ministry.
Jesus Christ is dead.
Jesus Christ
is dead. Raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you.
The Lord called me to Sydney Bible Baptist College, and I studied 4 years and I completed my theology degree.
The lesson here is entitled Goals for Every Christian. Lesson one has been read and study your Bible every morning. Acts 17:11, we must search the scriptures daily. Here is the stop track. Okay, learn how to explain this to people. Give tracts to people.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wages of sin is death. Do you want death or do you want life? Do you want to die forever in hell or do you want to have eternal life?
Get baptized to show we love Jesus. We believe he died, buried, rose for our sins, and we want to live for Jesus.
My name is Majid Shariati. I was born and raised as a Muslim in Iran. When I came in Australia in 2013, my friend Abbas told me about Liberty Baptist Church. When I came to this church, Brother Michael told me about how Jesus died on the cross for us, for my sin, and I received Jesus as my Savior. And now Jesus is my God, Jesus is my Lord, is my Savior. I love Him so much and I want to live for Him.
Hi, my name is Akbar Khanzadeh. I was born and raised in a Muslim family in Iran. And when I came to Australia, Brother Michael Germi knocked on the door and he took me to Liberty Baptist Church and he did the preach gospel with me. And he told me about Jesus, how he died on the cross for my sin. And when I heard it from the testimony of Jesus, and I repent from my sin, and I pray, and I call upon the name of the Lord as my Savior, and Jesus saved me. Now Jesus is my Lord. Now Jesus is my God. Now Jesus is my everything. Jesus is my heart. And praise the Lord. The Lord provided for me the Bible college. And I go to Bible college and I study there about 2 years. And I want to be the good servant for glory, for magnify the Jesus name.
Hi, my name is Majid Moradi. I was born in Iran in Muslim family. In 2013, I came to Australia. My friend Majid Shariati invited me to Liberty Baptist Church, and in there my brother Michael shared the gospel with me, and I found Jesus as my Savior. And after that I got saved by blood of Jesus, and after that I would love to live for Him and follow Him and spend my rest of life with Him.
God is good. I don't know how any of us could